It's 6 o'clock on the Tuesday the 28th of April, so I'll declare the council meeting of the Central Goldfield Shire open and welcome everybody who is joining us by Facebook. We have the three administrators here in attendance and our staff are joining us via Zoom, so I welcome everybody. This is the first time we have tried this technology in this way with Zoom, so I trust you will bear with us if we do have some technological hitches along the way. And of course, next month, the entire meeting will be held via Zoom. So this, I guess, is a dry run. So I'll declare the meeting open and we're going to stand for the for acknowledgement of country in the opening prayer. I would like to acknowledge that we are meeting on Jarrah people country of the Jajarung. We acknowledge that they are traditional custodians of the land we are on and have been for many thousands of years. Here the Jarrah have performed age-old ceremonies of celebration, initiation and renewal. We acknowledge their living culture and their unique role in the life of this region. We pay our respects to leaders past and present. And our opening prayer, Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon this council. We ask that you direct and guide our work to the advancement of your glory and the true welfare of the people of the Central Goldfield Shire. Please be seated. We have no apologies as all administrators are in attendance this evening and we have no leave of absence requested either. Does anybody have a conflict of interest they need to declare?
No.
No conflict of interest to declare. We move on then to item 5, which is the confirmation of the minutes of the previous council meetings, both in February and March.
And I would like to move the recommendation, page 3. The council confirms the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 25th of February and the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 24th of March 2020.
It has been moved and seconded.
I'll second it.
It has been seconded. I'm going to put it to the vote. In favour, against, that's carried. We have no reports from any committees this evening and we don't have any petitions to receive. So we'll move straight on now to our item 8, where we come to our various officer reports. And the first one is item 8.1, which is a report on the Assembly of Councils in the last month.
Mr Chairman, I'd like to move that the Council note the record of Assemblies of Councils for the period of the 18th of March 2020 to the 20th of April 2020.
Okay, it has been moved.
And
it has been seconded by Administrator Douglas. Going to put it to the vote. Those in favour, against, that's carried. Moving on to item 8.2, which is a planning application for a three-lot subdivision at 370 Bucknell Street in Carisbrook. And we have a fairly extensive report that's been presented by our planning department. And the recommendation, I'm just trying to find it, is on page 23.
Mr Chairman, I'd like to move that Council, having caused notice of planning application number 120/19 to be given under section 52 of the Planning and Environment Act of 1987 and the Central Goldfields Planning Scheme, and having considered all the matters generally required, determines to issue a notice of decision to issue a planning permit 120/19 a three-lot subdivision at 370 Bucknell Street, Carisbrook, subject to the following conditions are outlined on pages 23 to 29. There are 46 conditions, which I won't read out tonight, but they're in the report given to us.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
You do.
Yeah, it's been seconded. Do you wish to make a comment on this one?
I'll make a few comments, Mr Chairman. The purpose of this report is, as we know, a planning permit application for a three-lot subdivision at 370 Bucknell Street, Carisbrook. A little bit of history to this. Back in October 2019, we received an application for a 10-lot subdivision on the same site, which was refused by this council. Now we have a new application for a proposed subdivision of three lots. The application has been referred to many government departments and referral authorities, and they are listed in the report. Now, whether it be the CFA, Department of Land and Resources, Environmental Health, our Engineering Department, there are many organisations, including the Power Corps and the CFA. There is a little bit of native vegetation removed from this, but as it is in the rural living zone, it is considered appropriate for this three-lot subdivision. And I think the report is very extensive and it highlights the fact that each proposed lot will be provided with the appropriate services, whether that be water or domestic wastewater management systems, and it meets the minimum lot size under the schedule of rural living zone. The application under our communication and consultation process was advertised by mailing notices to adjoining and surrounding properties, and a sign was also placed on the property. We received one objection, and I know we've discussed that matter with that gentleman, and I think he's reasonably happy with what we're proposing. So again, I've moved the recommendation as outlined. I think it is a much better application than the one we received a year and a half ago. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Do you wish to make any further comments? No further comments. Okay, I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour, against, and that's carried. And again, for the benefit of those who may be following this on our live feed, there are 46 conditions applying to this notice of decision, and they are fairly extensive, so if you wish to read those, they are available on Council's website if you have a look at the agenda of this evening's meeting. I would also point out that as there was an objection to this application, it is in fact a notice of decision to issue a permit. We're not issuing a permit. We do have 28 days, I think it is, for the objector has appeal the decision. And also, of course, the applicant, if they're not happy with their conditions that we have imposed, also has the same right. So this is a notice of decision and the permit will not be issued until that particular time period has expired. Moving on then to item 8.3, which is the Audit and Risk Committee charter update and reappointment of our Audit and Risk Committee members.
So I'd like to move the recommendation, which is on page 32 on the papers, that Council 1 adopt the updated Audit and Risk Committee charter, 2 appoint Mr. John Watson to be an independent member and the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee for a further term of 3 years, appoint Mr. Robert Tomasini to be an independent member of the Audit and Risk Committee for a further term of 2 years, and appoint Ms. Cheryl Fitzgerald to be an independent member of the Audit and Risk Committee for a further term of 1 year, and to appoint administrators Mr. Hugh Delahunty and myself, Karen Douglas, to the Audit and Risk Committee for the remainder of their term as administrators of the Central Goldfield Shire Council.
Okay, thank you for that. So that's the motion this evening. We have a seconder.
Seconder.
Been moved and it has been seconded. Do you wish to make any comments on this one?
A few comments.
Yep.
Very minimal updating has been done because a very thorough updated document was achieved last year. So this year we've moved a couple of small changes. Fraud has now been expanded to include fraud and corruption. There's also been a section included about the terms of the members of the committee and how they can be reappointed and that the appointment terms are to be staggered. So I think the charter has definitely been improved by these additions. There are some additions that are in line with the new Local Government Act of 2020, and an annual assessment of the committee must be provided to the CEO for tabling at the next council meeting. The committee must prepare a biannual audit and risk report that describes the activities of the Audit and Risk Committee and includes its findings and recommendations, and must provide the report to the Chief Executive Officer for tabling at the next council meeting. Another dot point is around risk management, and that the risk management section clearly deals with risk management framework, strategic risks and operational risks. So I would just like to comment about the reappointment of the independent members. And the current committee members, I would like to say, have provided excellent advice and counsel to the administrators and to the council. And I'm very pleased that they I'm hoping will be able to take up the extension for another term. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Delahunt.
No,
okay. Before I put this to the vote, can I say a formal thank you to our committee members? They have made an extraordinarily valuable contribution to this organisation. They have a significant workload, and all of them sit on a number of other committees, I know. But I think we are indebted to them. We have an extensive and very, very comprehensive audit program that we have instituted since we have been here. And I think they have conducted the affairs of that committee very, very effectively. And we are a much stronger and a much more thorough and open organisation as a result of the work of this committee. And I want to formally acknowledge the work that they have done and thank them. That's Mr. John Watson, who has chaired that committee, Robert Tomasini as independent member, and Cheryl Fitzgerald, also an independent member. I'm going to put that to the vote. Those in favour, against, that's carried. Okay, we do need to make some changes. As some members of the public, I'm sure, are aware around council meetings that are the changes that have been put in place during this pandemic period. Have I missed one? I have indeed. But item 8.4, going back, this is in relation to our Section 86 committees. And before we commence a discussion around our Section 86 committees, I would point out that we are all members of different Section 86 committees. But Administrator Delahunty is a chair of one of our Section 86 committees, and we've had it confirmed there is no conflict of interest, but it's reasonable that that should be noted, that he is chair of one of those committees.
So I'd like to move the recommendation, page 35, that one, new instruments of delegation in the format of attachment one be issued in relation to A, Adelaide Lead Hall, B, Daisy Hill Community Hall, C, Denali Historic Precinct Management, D, Energy Breakthrough, E, Talbot Community Homes, F, Talbot Town Hall, G, Leisure Centre, and two, a membership of special committees be in accordance with attachment two.
Okay, so it has been moved. Now, I will second that one, as Administrator Delahunty is a member of one of the chair of one of those committees. I will move that motion. So if there's any further comment we wish to make?
Just probably a little bit of an explanation for those that haven't got the papers in front of them. The Section 86 committee delegations listed are due to expire in May 2020 and need to be renewed. Now, it's recommended that Council renew these delegations with the same terms and conditions for a further 6 months period. Really, it's all to do with, I suppose, the COVID-19...
And the new Act.
Yes. So I think this is a reasonable thing to extend the memberships for a further 6 month period.
Okay, thank you for that. And again, I should, before I put the motion, thank those members of the committee who have taken part in those Section 86 committees. There is a long list, and I would love to read out all the names and acknowledge them, but I won't do that because we'll be here for a while if I did. But we do acknowledge and thank everybody who has been part of Council's Section 86 committees. There are lots of changes coming as a result of the amendment, the new Local Government Act, which will change the function and form of Section 86 committees, and this will allow us to implement those changes in a timely manner. And we thank those members of the committee for their patience in taking on their onerous task, in some cases, for a further 6 months to allow us time to comply with the requirements of the new Act. So I'm going to put it to the vote. Mr. Delahunty, do you want to... Okay, I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour, against, and that's carried. Okay, now we're on to item 8.5, which is council meetings in relation to the period of the pandemic that we are currently experiencing.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that in accordance with COVID-19 Omnibus Emergency Measures Bill of 2020, Council 1, conduct its council meetings via electronic means. 2, exclude members of the public from attending council meetings. And 3, live stream its council meetings during the period of the 1st of May 2020 till the 1st of November 2020, or until the government restrictions in relation to social distancing and indoor gathering limits are eased.
It's been moved to have
a,
and it's been seconded. Do you wish to make any comments, Mr. Delahunty?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. Look, we've all been involved with local government for a long time, and we've all known that under the Local Government Act as it stood, all council meetings had to be held face-to-face. In other words, we had to be all in the one room together. The council meetings also had to be open to the public, except in extenuating circumstances or specific circumstances. Under the new omnibus bill that went through Parliament about a week ago, there has been allowance for a temporary change in operations of council meetings. That will mean that we can have meetings a little bit similar to this, but where we could all be on the end of a computer, on an electronic means like a Zoom meeting. In future meetings, we will have to do that. But it is a temporary measure, as I say, from the 1st of May, which is only next week, up until the 1st of November, unless there's other changes going to be made. But at this stage, we are conducting this council meeting with three of us in the room, as you will see, with social distancing allowances taking place. But important, we've got our other council officers, including our CEO on a Zoom conference. We've got them at the end of the table if we want to ask questions or clarification. But again, it is probably a hybrid model in preparation for what we will be doing at the next council meeting. So this is a common sense decision. I thank the government for moving fairly quickly on this, but it enables us as administrators or councillors right across Victoria to continue to hold meetings so that they can do the business of council going forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Mrs. Douglas, do you have any comment you wish to make?
No?
Okay, I'm going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? That's carried. Moving on now to item 8.6, which is our March financial report. We are well and truly into the financial year and heading towards a very positive conclusion. And the March financial report contains a lot of really interesting information and update about where we are in relation to our budget and the various works that are there. And I'm just going to ask Mr. Brumby if you could unmute your microphone and make a few introductory comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, working.
Obviously, as you can see from the report, we're making solid progress across the year. There's been a good spend in the capital program of recent times, and more work has occurred since this this report was written. At this stage, there are no particular matters of concern to note with the finances, although the financial impact of COVID-19 still remains to be understood, given that it changes week to week.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
So I'd like to then move that Council receives and notes the attached 31st March 2020 financial report showing progress against the budget.
Happy to second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Mr. Douglas, you may need to speak up just a little for people to pick up your...
Okay.
To pick up your... Perhaps you could repeat that, because this is a fairly important one. We'll get this one right. Sorry, okay. I've thrown you off.
Here we go. So just to repeat the recommendation, the Council receives and notes the attached 31st of March 2020 financial report showing progress against the budget.
Okay, thank you for that. Been moved. Do I have a seconder?
Yes,
has been moved and has been seconded. Do you wish to make any comments, Mrs. Douglas, on that one?
Well, I think Mr. Brumby has probably summed it up very, very succinctly. Again, it's really more about timing as much as anything else. And I'm sorry, just to repeat a mantra that I seem to have said pretty much every month. And I suspect it's probably going to be. That will also probably continue until we come at least through the next couple of months. So it's all set out there. I think we are looking forward to a fairly good and positive result by the time we come in the 30th of June, or the fair way off, I suppose. And also the capital works is really, I think, is quite exciting this year. We don't seem to have had some of the delays that often we run into with weather and various other things. So, no, I'm very pleased with where we stand at the moment. Thank you.
Mr. Delahunt, do you wish to make any comment?
Mr. Chairman, I would make a couple of comments. The report, as highlighted in the report itself, is a financial performance of the year report up to date, tracking against our adopted budget. The report covers five particular things for people who are listening in. That's the operating statement, our balance sheet, statement of changes in equity, cash flow statement, and statement of capital works. And as highlighted in the report, as Administrator Douglas said, there is some timing issues with grants coming in, or we're paying some things early and some things a little bit later. But at the end of the day, we are tracking very well. But I'd like to highlight a couple of things. The COVID virus, or the pandemic, is impacting heavily on our community. And one of the good things about it has been, though, that places like the Maryborough Sport and Leisure Centre upgrade project is starting, and there's work going on. I was up there, drove past there today. It is happening. You'll see there's funds allocated in the budget, and also we did get some money from both the federal and state government. We thank them for. Also, under Healthy Hearts infrastructure, there's work's been going on, and I'm pleased to see some publicity about that at Denali, and also on the south side of Maryborough, where there's been capital expenditure, which has been completed, which has been a great thing for those communities. But overall, it is as Administrator Douglas said, we're tracking pretty well. I'm really pleased, though, that when I looked at the report, there was a transport expenditure we thought was a little bit below budget, but we've been able to do that in a more cost-effective way, with some of the prices being reduced, fuel prices and that type of thing. But we've been able to move those savings across to other transport projects, so that we've completed all the works, or nearly completed some of the works, but we'll be able to do more with the money we've allocated this year. So it's a good report, and I commend the staff for what they put together for us.
Thank you very much for that. I just would say also in relation to this report, when we prepared our budget nine months ago now, it was very clear that a number of items were dependent upon council receiving grant funding. And of course, our listeners who are tuning in would be aware of the fact that the state budget has been delayed until later in the year. Now, that will obviously have an impact on the flow of grant funds to council, and that will result in some delays in some of those projects. They are, however, sitting there ready to go as soon as the money is announced, and we hope that will be sooner rather than later. I think the other thing which I think is a highlight of this report, and I think if you compare this report as to where we were this time last year, we are in a far better position in relation to progress against a budget than we were this time last year. And that is very, very heartening, given the uncertainty of the circumstances that we now find ourselves in. Of course, we do need to be aware that there are some real challenges ahead we are facing, and our community is facing some real headwinds going forward, and we need to be mindful of that. And I commend anybody who may be listening in to our hardship policy, which is on our website, and encourage people and businesses to go and participate in that particular activity. Now, the impact of that has not yet come through on our finance report, and we are yet to see that. But we are prepared, and I think we are in a very, very strong position to respond as a council to any of those challenges that may come as a result of the pandemic that we are currently experiencing. I just do note that our level of arrears are slightly higher than they were this time last year, and again, that is to be expected. And I think that's something which we as a council are very, very mindful of. And I do acknowledge the work of our finance team led by Mr. Brumby, for they're doing an enormous amount of work trying to prepare us and make sure that we are atop of ahead of the game when it comes to being prepared for the impacts of the pandemic on our finances. So I think it's a very, very positive report, and I'm feeling very, very confident that when we get to the end of the financial year, we will achieve the objectives that we set ourselves. And Madam CEO, I'd appreciate if you could take back our congratulations to everybody in your team in terms of delivering what I think is a really good budgetary outcome to this point of the year. So it's been moved and seconded. We're going to put it to the vote. Those in favour? Against? Then that's carried. Okay, item 9, which is the use of the common seal. There is no item here. There are no notice of motion to deal with. There is no urgent business or confidential business that we need to deal with this evening. And so that brings us to the end of our agenda, and I will now I can't see what the time is, 6:25, declare our meeting closed, and thank you for everybody who has joined us via Zoom, and that's our staff, and of course by Facebook. Thank you.